Hey everybody, it's Jake and I am alone in the basement. For this episode, we're going to be talking to Abs. If you don't know who Abs is, stop. Head over to YouTube, search Abs, probably wrestling after, or if you have IWTV, then just head on over to the search bar and type in Abs, ABBS, all caps, and then come back to this. Abs is a guy I love. I've had the opportunity to work with him once before. I can't say enough great things about the dude, and I'm really excited for him to come on and tell his story and let us know a little bit more about him and where, you know, pretty much this journey started from. And again, just a super sweet guy, and I'm really excited for this one. So you know the deal, a few seconds, and we'll be back with Abs. All right, everybody, and we are back, and we're with Abs. Again, man, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, Jake.
And as I kind of said in the intro, I love you, man. You're one of the sweetest people I've met in wrestling. So I'm really excited to have you on, and you can tell us more about, you know, your story to the point where you're at now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very flattering to say.
So we'll start with the question you've been asked a million times in your life at this point. How did you first get exposed to wrestling?
I am a late bloomer in wrestling. I was always aware of wrestling, obviously, growing up, but I really didn't start getting into it until I was in college, actually. So I'm very much late into the game of wrestling. And the first thing I watched was Raw in my roommate's dorm room. One of my friends' dorm rooms, and like the first person I gravitated towards was Sheamus for some reason, and then it all took off from there.
I actually love the late bloomer stories because, you know, it's usually something like that, some weird little thing or some weird moment is kind of where it all snowballs.
Exactly. I didn't grow up with it, but it doesn't mean I don't love it any more than most of them do.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people who've loved it, you know, since they were kids, but not all of them are out there doing it like you are.
Exactly.
And the Sheamus one, that gets me. I've never heard of that one
before. Well, yeah, it's definitely has taken a lot of people off guard, but also they're kind of impressed with it because it's like, I mean, I loved him then, but like, I'm really happy with the run he's doing now. He's really getting his flowers now, and I really appreciate it and love it.
I mean, I don't really keep up with the WWE as a product much, but I can't say right. I've ever not liked Sheamus. The dude is tough as hell, has put on some crazy matches, done a lot. I know he has that back issue, and to still kind of just go through it and still have his love, man. All the props in the world to Sheamus.
Exactly. I watch whenever I can, and the run he's on now is incredible. The matches with Walter, Gunther, whatever you want to call him, unmatched.
I still haven't watched the Clash of the Castle match, but I did, you know, when I saw all the hype about it, I was like, all right, it's on my list of things to get to before the year's over.
It's a match you never knew you wanted until it was announced.
Right? And then when I first heard it, I was kind of like, and then it clicked. I was like, oh, wait, they're going to beat the fuck out of each other. Okay, this is going to be awesome.
Exactly.
Which it's cool because I think people forget that Sheamus can do that.
Yeah, he's a tough old guy. People forget he actually started on the indies before he went to WWE. He was on the Irish indies.
Yeah, and then went to FCW, wound up in a weird tag team with Yoshitatsu and...
Oh, really?
From there, you know.
Had some training with Dr. Tom.
Hey, anyone who trains with Dr. Tom knows their shit.
Exactly.
Although I do think it's crazy now that him and Kane have a school together.
Yeah. That's. Well, they're producing some good talent from what I'm seeing, so it works.
I've seen a few people come out of there, and, you know, I have nothing negative to say, especially when you think of all the history. Exactly. And just knowledge and experience between those two. They know their exactly. stuff.
Yeah. And and Kane's doing it while he's being the mayor of a whole freaking county.
Yeah, and I think it's crazy, too, because Knox County, I mean, that includes Knoxville, which I don't know if you've ever been through, but Knoxville is a huge city.
I think I've been to Tennessee, but I don't remember going to Knoxville.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to spend a day in Knoxville, well, a day in and around Knoxville, and it's huge, man. So that is a lot to have on your plate.
Exactly.
And now, I don't know if you follow college football at all, but now he's got to deal with everything going crazy because Tennessee, the University of Tennessee, their football team plays in Knoxville. I think the whole school's in Knoxville. And they had a huge upset over Alabama, and fans thought it would be in best interest to tear the goalposts down and carry them out of the stadium.
Lovely. I don't follow college football, but that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's just one of those moments where, all right, why not?
Exactly, why not?
Now, besides Sheamus, do you remember if there was any like specific moment or match or an angle that made you decide to stick around? Because and for all we know, it was just a random hanging out with a buddy, and he's like, oh, I got wrestling on.
Yeah, that's kind of what stuck with it. I mean, my first exposure was tuning into a random episode of Raw, and I pretty much stuck with it ever since, and nothing eventful happened. It may have been the one where I think Sheamus was beating up Finley or something, and then Jesse Ventura made a special celebrity appearance or whatever. It was one of those episodes of Raw, and like it was just that just made me click with it. And then it wasn't long after that Sheamus had his first title run. So I think that may have been pretty like influential, I guess, in a way.
Fair, man. Yeah.
Although actually I will say even before I got into wrestling, I did when I was in 2004, I did somehow get access to and remember watching a little bit of the Lesnar Guerrero match at No Way Out.
Okay.
So I remember that, and like, and back then I was like, I wasn't bashing wrestling and all that, and like it didn't get me into it, but it's one of my earliest memories of watching wrestling.
And that's a insane match.
Yeah, I know. I remember. You remember as a kid, you had those black box things, and you get like illegal cable. Somehow, I got a WWE pay per view on there, and I caught that match.
I love that I can finally get a story involving one of those now because I did not have one. But growing up, I shouldn't say growing up, high school, my neighbor had one, and he was a younger kid, like way younger than me. Like, well, I won't say way, but we kind of had like a big brother, little brother relationship. And he had one of those. And at the time, Impact was still TNA, and they had the weekly pay-per-views.
Right.
So I would be like, I'm coming over Wednesday at 8, and we're going to watch wrestling. Because he liked wrestling. So he's like, yeah, cool, someone to watch wrestling with. And I'm just like, yeah, free pay-per-views.
Free illegal cable, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. And we did that for like a year. It was worth it.
Yeah, it was a good run with those things.
Oh. No, but no one really, I think, younger than us is going to understand that when they're like, what are you talking about? It's like, buddy, you needed this box to hack into your shit.
It blows my mind that there are people too young to remember the black box now.
It's how I feel with VHS, man.
Oh, God, yes. It's going to really, we're really going to be dinosaurs with that.
Oh, man, it's not far. It really is.
Hell, I feel like a dinosaur with DVDs now.
Right?
My massive DVD collection full of movies is, like, outdated.
And then it was like, okay, you gotta upgrade and get Blu-ray. Okay, I got Blu-ray, now what? Oh, now it's all digital and none of it matters.
Now it's just streaming. Now it's streaming services.
There's no winning. Whatever way you think you're gonna stay ahead of the game... It's not gonna
exactly happen. Man,
well, at least I don't know anyone who is foolish enough to buy a laser disc.
Oh, actually we got some of the we had those like when they were way outdated. I think someone gave it to my mother when we were young, and we had a laser disc with a few movies on it.
Oh, and if none of you know what Laserdisc is, go look it up. It was essentially...
It's basically movies on records.
Yeah, it's like, think of a DVD, but like 9 times bigger.
Yeah, and that's what a record is also, kids. It also plays music.
I mean, vinyl's come back, so...
Vinyl's making a comeback, yeah, for all the hipster folk.
I was surprised when I saw that cassettes were coming back.
Really? That's the thing? Oh, boy.
That is the thing. And I don't think it's... Dude, when I was a kid, cassette quality was kind of shit, so...
Right.
Why you want to bring that back? I mean, maybe it's easy to record on. I don't know anything.
Probably.
Well, back on track. After Sheamus took your heart, who were some of the other wrestlers that you found yourself kind of gravitating towards too?
After that, I think it was because of that match. When he beat him up, it was Finley after that. And then I looked up. I started getting heavily into World of Sport and all that stuff because of someone like him. That was the guy that kind of also stole my heart. And like, it's weird, but the gimmick I have, you're like, you're listing all these tough guys and look at the gimmick you're portraying. What the hell?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that because there's been times within your matches that you've shown more fire.
Of course. Old super, super duper baby face here.
Exactly.
But like, no, it was Finley first off, and then from there, Finley is forever my top guy now. He kind of surpassed Sheamus after that, so, yeah.
And Finley is another one of those dudes who is just ungodly tough. Like,
oh my God, yes. Ridiculous. There's this great documentary on YouTube about his whole family.
I have had that queued up forever, but never watched it, and I don't know why. Because, what is it? David and Brogan are like...
It's interesting.
They're like... Brogan and David are like fourth generation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy to think. So I can only imagine how ridiculously tough Finley's dad and grandfather were to make him like that.
Towards the end in the documentary, you see a young David and a very young Brogan.
And I mean, if you know a Finley match is going to be a banger if he's still got that mullet and mustache combo...
Well, of course. His debut was like one of my favorites.
And I still love is it from an Uncensored? Him and Regal when they're just beating the dog shit out of each other.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that one's great. Oh. And Finley's stuff in New Japan was a little underrated and underlooked too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I caught any of those, honestly.
Yeah, check it out if you get a chance, man.
I mostly watched his World of Sports stuff.
All right, and now I got to ask a World of Sport question. Are you more of a Big Daddy guy or a Giant Haystacks guy?
Well, through World of Sport, I also started to fall in love with Les Kellett.
All right.
So there's where the gimmicky stuff plays in. It was Les Kellett because he's so funny, but also like he can go. His offense is so unique, but also like just outlandishly funny.
I love a lot of that old World of Sport stuff, and there were so many just really good wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that's like ageless to me.
Yeah. And that was at a time where the wrestling was like an actual sport. So to have someone funny like that pop in was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I feel like it showed that there's always been room in wrestling for that.
That's my firm belief. Every match card needs to have a sort of a funny, not taken seriously, good, lighthearted, gaga match.
Yeah, and there was a point in my life where I was kind of the antithesis of that, and I felt like there kind of wasn't. And I think it was because the Attitude Era for me, there was almost too much of it.
Right.
But then I think I remember the first time I watched... Kikutaro and Kushinbo Kamen.
Another one who I love.
When I watched those two go at for the first time, I was like, okay, all right, maybe
Kikutaro and who? I didn't hear who you said.
Kushinbo Kamen. I don't know if you ever.
Okay, I think that's like he always like faced him, right?
Yeah, in when they were first, getting going, or at least first when I caught wind of them.
I'm telling you this, Keith Kataro is at the top of my dream match list right now. I so badly want to wrestle Keith Kataro.
I would love that because I know how great it would be.
Exactly.
I don't know if you ever saw him when he did the Abactus Jack gimmick. That was also hilariously great.
I don't think so, but I have to check that out.
Oh, yeah. When you just see him coming out in, like, Cactus Jack gimmick, it's like, what the fuck?
Nice.
It's perfect.
Ebby Son, yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I totally lost track of where I was. So, you got into World of Sport, and then I'm assuming after that it was your introduction to the indies?
Yeah, from there, I honestly can't give you a specific moment where the indies kind of took off for me, but honestly, you can say whatever you want about WWE's product lately in the modern time. It led me, at least, to my love of the independents and other companies and all that stuff. Because there was a time where I was not watching WWE. I was not happy with the product, and it, like, was, like, adamantly not watching. It's gotten better now, but, like, I was just a time where it's gotten so bad, like, turning to the indies or the other alternative companies was a better idea at that point.
Yeah, man, and I'm not going to knock it either. My entire fandom was based around as a young kid, I was absolutely obsessed with Hulk Hogan. Like,
right
from the moment I was born until I kind of got smarter to the business, Hulk Hogan was my absolute idol.
Right. That may be a lot of people's whole thing until they realize Hulk Hogan, I think, is a less than savory person in real life.
Yeah, and that was kind of hard to swallow at first when you're just kind of like, wait.
He's not a very good person.
What do you mean it's not going to work for you, brother?
Exactly.
But it is hard. It's one of those things where I feel like there's a lot of us who had childhood heroes who kind of, you find out more about, it's just like, damn, man, life ain't as innocent as you think it is when you're 7.
Exactly. Actually, to sort of revert back to your other question about who else I got into, I think it's because of WWE, when going back in its, like, the history, I guess, people like Mick Foley kind of stood out to me a lot, actually, also.
Yeah, man, and Mick Foley is the man. He is...
That's a guy I hugely admire.
He's someone I'll always have the utmost respect for because it's like he put it himself. He didn't have superstar looks. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the greatest worker in the world.
Yeah. He destroyed his body for everyone's entertainment. Like, literally destroyed his body.
Yeah. He put everything out on the line to make it work for him, and it did. But
like, I don't think he's a functioning, he's like a functioning human being because of wrestling now. He's barely a functioning human being.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And all the crazy shit that he put himself through. And it's like, I think Lance Storm was recently asked on Twitter, who was the smartest person in wrestling? And he said, whoever made the most money while taking the least amount of bumps.
That's why I love Orange Cassidy when he was on the indies now.
And that's, people like hate all over him now when he's doing so great in AEW. But for all these older people who have complained that, oh, well, less is more. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's someone giving
Looking
you...
Orange.
Yeah, that is literally the definition of that, and yet you're not happy with it.
Right, exactly. Because he's not a tough fighter guy.
I mean, not every match can be 20 minutes of no strikes and just headlocks and groundwork. Don't get me wrong. There is a market for that. And I enjoy exactly. matches like that, but you can't base entire promotions around that concept anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. And I've come to learn that just from being in this business the hard way.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. it's not an easy trip.
Exactly. Like, I've reached out to promoters about getting on shows, and while some have just outright not responded, a few couple at least, like, honestly responded back to me, like, hey, you're just not the style we're looking for in our show. And I'm like, okay, that's, I don't exactly agree with that, but I'm actually, it respects you for actually telling me and not just leaving me on read.
And when you first got a hold of me, because if those aren't aware, Abs was on the only, to this date, Heartstrong Gumi show. And Think if I remember right, I said I didn't have room at the moment. But if I had room open up, I was definitely going to make a spot for you because I loved what you did. Because I remember being exposed to you from Camp Leapfrog.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, this is great. Like, I got it. And I was like, okay, this is great.
I'm internally grateful for you actually, opening a spot for me. Cause, I mean, I'm sorry for the one that pulled out. But I'm eternally grateful for that because that's where I met, Perry Von Vicious, because you put me in a match against him.
And I did.
He's now my wrestling dad. I love Perry so much.
Perry is the man. He is such
a sweet I met Myung Jae Lee there, too. I met so many cool people there. Yeah. So I'm eternally grateful for Heartstrong Gumi.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I totally... That actually makes me feel great. I'm sorry, but
if you ever decide to bring it back, I'm there for you.
It's not a... if I want to, I totally do. I've just been in a rough position.
It's a when.
It is a when. It is a when in making it work. And I promise you, man, actually in the few times I've kind of had stuff planned, you've always been on the list.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'll actually just be open and honest. The idea I've had since then is I wanted to put you and the stepdads together to make stepdabs.
Oh my god, I love the stepdads so much too.
So,
I may have met them there too, but since then I've become really good friends with the stepdads. I rode to them on a couple shows, and we've always talked about that, like a trio's idea with us.
Because I just feel like that would be so perfect, and it would just fit
Heck
right.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
So yeah, one day I'll make that happen.
One day, man. I'd love it.
Hopefully it'll be next year. I'm hoping I can get something figured out within the first quarter of 2023.
Yeah, man. Whenever it happens, I'm there.
So, afterwards, since your introduction with Sheamus and Finlay and everything else, what is it about wrestling to this day that still keeps you as a fan?
Oh, some people will say the athleticism, which is always cool. I'll give it that. But for me, it's the theatrics. I just love how theatric and entertaining wrestling can be. And that's always stuck with me. I don't want to call myself a theater kid, but I have done some theatery stuff. I've studied improv, sketch comedy and all that stuff. So that stuff, and I always loved film. I'm a film guy, film buff, I guess. So all that type of stuff always appealed to me. So that's my favorite part of wrestling. What's been keeping me around.
I get it, man. And there's something about it that can just take you on the
yeah,
emotional
the greatest
ride.
Form of theater out there.
You're not wrong, man. And that's why I think people forget that, you know, necessarily do you have to be the greatest worker, depending on where you are, no. There are places where work rate is more important than others.
Right.
But at the same time, in the mid-80s, if Dusty wasn't cutting these promos that legitimately made us feels.
Mm-hmm.
Where would we have been, or where would wrestling have gone?
No, you're exactly right. Because there's, let's face it, if it wasn't for that, there's nothing else fantastic, spectacular about Dusty. It's just the fact that he can talk and he can present himself.
The charisma was off the chains for Dusty. And
yeah, his in-ring work was nothing to write home about. Wasn't bad, but nothing to write home about.
No, he just knew how to work a crowd to be firmly behind him. He just had that connection, and he made it work.
Exactly.
His booking may have left things to be desired, but it's one of those give or take things. I could do a whole podcast arguing with someone about whether Dusty's booking was good or bad.
Exactly.
So at what point, after you have now spent time on the interwebs, looking up wrestling, watching Raw, have you decided, you know what? I think I want to be a wrestler.
Okay. So it was 2004. It was January 2014. I just Googled wrestling schools in New York City. First one that popped up, Johnny Rods. So I just went to there. I saw the reputation he has, the people he's trained, and I gravitated towards it. And I went there, spoke with them, and then And then pay the big tuition, and then
I was gonna say
started, and boom.
And one of the rough parts is that if you are in New York City, there's not, or at least then was not really a number of schools.
Exactly. I mean, Hogg was around at that point, and was around, but I think that may have been the only reputable one at that point.
But
besides Rod's,
yeah. But besides that, Johnny's school has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard positive experiences. I've heard negative experiences. I feel like
yes, I'm not going to deny the negative experiences. Like, it's until you really come out here on the Indies where you really start to believe the negative things you hear about your trainer, and it's a little bit disheartening. But I'm still eternally grateful because, like, I wouldn't be where I am without it. So
yeah, and there's a lot of people who, if Johnny didn't have that school, wouldn't have got a shot. And
exactly. And look, I'm not knocking my training. I was trained well. I like to think I was trained well. So I'm eternally grateful for that.
Yeah, it also still might be one of those things where Johnny was around in one of the more cutthroat times of wrestling. Mm-hmm.
It's the Carney stuff, yeah.
And sometimes you can't shake that, especially when you're older. For some reason, I don't want to say that, because there's still things of that for anyone of any age, there's things that we can't unforget. So it can be hard to kind of get yourself out of that mindset.
Exactly. And he was older, so of course he couldn't get in the ring with us, so I didn't actually physically learn a lot in the ring with him, but imparting every bit of knowledge he could is enough, honestly. I got my basics down. That's what he likes to really nail into you. And boom, that's, I think, where it started.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people, or maybe some people, fans who are maybe listening, kind of think that, oh, well, you go train there and then you're kind of good. No.
Right. No, it takes a lot. I stayed there for 5 years before I came out to the Indies.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, because Johnny would not let you do Indies. It's not a secret. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
He's very against everyone going, his own guys going out doing Indies, because he will like, he's like, you stay here, you'll eventually get to the WWE. And then you start to realize, the longer you're there, like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. So do I want to do this as a hobby and stay here, or do I actually want to make this work? And if you want to do it as a hobby, that's great. I still respect anyone who gets in the ring, no matter what they, how serious they take it, how far they go with it. I respect anyone that sets foot in a ring.
Yeah. Man.
So I just started to realize I want to do more. I want to push myself more. So 2019, February 2019, I have my last match there, and then boom, here I am.
And the learning experience doesn't end with just your first trainer. It's exactly. Once you get out there and are introduced to more things that you really pick up a lot of stuff that you might not have got in training.
Exactly. You learn a lot more about the business, because whatever Johnny tells you about the business is outdated. It's a different business now.
Yeah.
It's still cutthroat, but it's not as like cutthroat as back in those days.
No, and we're entering a period where there's a lot of people on the Indies who are just good people.
Exactly. People are, like, overall mostly better people than they were back in the day.
Yes. I feel like that is a huge thing, because there's so many horror stories.
Yeah.
Of what was going on in the 80s, even up to the 90s, of just...
There's plenty of exceptions nowadays, but yes, generally, the people are better.
And as you told us, you went to Johnny's school, made it out. Escaped.
Left, yeah.
And so when you were still working with his promotion, did you have the abs idea then, or did you figure that out kind of when you were leaving?
It was more, I think, probably my last year or two there. I just decided to do the abs stuff, and I wasn't under the name abs, because good luck giving Johnny a gimmick name. He'll forget it and just call you by your real name. So I was just working under my actual name, or whatever Johnny was announcing that night. but I was still working with the abs, but I didn't put as much emphasis on it, you know. Now I influence heavily my offense on my abs, and it's the focal point of my whole thing. But back then I didn't really emphasize it a lot, and I was just sort of being, I guess you could say, a cliche wrestler guy, but also not, because I was being me. So like, yeah, I just was generic, but I had the abs out.
Anyway, it was what led you to where it was going to go, right?
Exactly. And someone, I think, inspired the name ABS as an acronym for something, for Andrew's Better Body System.
I did know that. I'm glad that you said it.
Yeah, I've never ever used it that way. It just goes by ABS now. So it's kind of developed into its own entity, where it was meant to just sort of start out as like a sleazy fitness guru type of thing. But then I just sort of became my own thing.
Well, when you have abs like yours, why wouldn't you want to be a sleazy fitness
group? I initially intended it to be a heel. I was hell bent on coming out to the indies working abs as a heel. But people just saw it more as a baby face, and that's how I started getting booked, and I ran with it.
I feel like it's almost, I mean, talking with you personally, I feel like it's kind of hard for you to be taken as a heel.
But don't worry. That time's going to come at some point. Heel abs will rear his ugly head at some point. Now that I further know what I'm doing and I know how to do it, so hopefully it'll work now.
I just want to know, where was the mindset that just came like, oh, I got this idea? Were you just at home one day looking at your totally not fake abs and like, man, I got an idea?
More or less. Like, I honestly don't remember what sort of spawned it. I just decided to wear it, like, have the abs, and then bam, people just, it's became what the most noticeable thing about me. So when you have a very visual gimmick, you don't have to do much else.
There you go, kids. Lesson.
Exactly. I'm not the best talker. I in fact am very, very shy and socially awkward in social situations, but like, and especially out in the wrestling ring. So I don't talk as much, but I have something you can all look at. So there you go.
And Abs also has another thing that most wrestlers should take note of. He has his name on his gear, which you might think is stupid sometimes, but trust me, if you are ever working at an indie where it might be your first night there, or, you know, somewhere you're not familiar with, or in a new area, if your name is on your gear, that's an easy thing for both the announcer to remember, the commentator to remember, and the people who are going to be looking up your social medias to remember.
There you go. Yeah, have whether it's your gear or your shirt, just something that has your name on it.
It is guaranteed way to help you out in future.
Exactly.
And how would you say that you have been received by the wrestling community as Abs?
It's people have come out and said they really love what I'm doing, and like, people do generally like it. Of course, you do meet a few people who, like, I don't want to say hate me, but like, just either don't get it or just don't want to really take a chance with it, you know? And it's expected. When you're working with a gimmick-heavy type of thing, a lot of places don't really want to take chances on you. Yeah. And that's a tough thing, just tough pill to swallow, but you also got to sort of prove them wrong a little.
Yeah, and wrestling is fickle. It's always been fickle. It always will be. And I feel like there's certain places that it worked more than others. Like, Chikara was notorious for these crazy gimmicks, but the fan base got it, and it worked great. And then
it's a shame I never got to be Abs when I did my stint in Chikara.
It is, and it sucks that it went down the way it went down, especially with the higher.
Yeah, and I only got to be there as an enhancement talent, so I wasn't even allowed to show the abs. I just had to wear my generic singlet and then just put over their guys.
And then I feel like Camp Leapfrog was kind of like the spiritual successor. And where you first got a chance to shine out there, and then that negatively ended bad as well.
Yeah, I think no one was more heartbroken over it than me, because literally my whole career was based on Leapfrog. Everyone else there, they have their own established names and can probably can survive without it. But I made my name there. People know me from there. Hence, you're a perfect example. I got booked in your company because of there.
Yeah, because I loved Leapfrog, and that was where I was first exposed to you. I was like, oh yeah, I remember when you were introducing yourself. I'm like, oh, I totally know you, man.
Yeah, when you responded back with that, I was literally blown away. I'm like, what? Oh my goodness. A lot of people shockingly knew who I was. I went to a seminar run by Simon Gotch once, and Simon Gotch knew who I was.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I was helping out at the Beyond show, and Wheeler Yuta came up to me, and he showed Fred Yehi a funny spot I did, and popped Fred Yehi.
That is great. And
so, and Yuta was the IWTV champion at that point. So,
and that's another thing. I know Drew doesn't listen, but if anybody else who knows Drew besides me can put a bug in his ear, I'd love to see you on Wrestling Open. I think it would be awesome.
I'm working on that. I've gone to help at Beyond before Open was a thing, and I'm trying to make my way up to Open again. It's just Thursdays have been a bit crazy, but I'm definitely looking to get back up there. And Drew knows who I am, so.
Drew, come on. Helping Abs out.
There you go.
That's the hashtag.
I just recently did a tryout for Blitzkrieg and Limitless, and I got to work in front of Randy Carver, so that's another good one.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you've done a few shows for Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, a few the smaller shows, but hopefully one day I would love to get on the big shows, because I love it. I love Blitzkrieg. The vibe is so cool, and everyone there is awesome. It says something that with the few small shows that I did work for Blitzkrieg, two of them were in tag matches against Leary and Skyler, who are the top people there.
Yeah.
So that says something.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a trust there then. It's just...
Yeah, yeah.
Getting you to where you need
to... Yeah, exactly. It's just tough when you're sort of not representing a school. That's what I've sort of learned.
Sometimes that can be tough.
Yeah, because I'm really out on my own.
Yeah, and when you're on your own like that, it's hard, because as much as wrestling has changed, there is parts of it that haven't, and that is usually to get somewhere, you got to know a guy.
Exactly, and I'm not knocking promotions that go to more of the schools, because I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. It's a trust thing.
Yeah, you're right, it is, and I, even when I was doing my show, there was a few schools that I knew were going to put out quality people and that maybe I should get a hold of. And in the future, I was working out a deal with Logan Black to get him and his students on, because
I love Logan Black.
Logan's a great dude, a great worker, and a great trainer.
He's also a Rods guy, but so there you go. I mean, him could talk about, have talked about that. So
yeah, he was, I don't think he has any, really,
he's
good
not as
to flat. Say.
He's not being as nice as I am.
No, and I think that's why it's great where you have Logan running his school.
Exactly. I've been meaning to go there for so long, and I think eventually soon I'm definitely going to go there and train with the guys. And because I know them all, I've done a couple of their shows, and I know a good portion of the guys there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know you've done some IWW shows.
Yeah, yeah, I've done a couple of those. So yeah.
So hopefully, man, you build some more relationships and it kind of helps you out.
Exactly.
But it does, in a sense, it's kind of sad that because you don't really have any foundation and you took a risk on going away from where you were trained and going out on your own. And then...
Yeah, after Leapfrog, I really, really am starting at pretty much level one again.
But on the plus side, you have managed to find some places to go. You've worked Pro Wrestling Magic a decent amount of times this year. Invictus, you seem to be there pretty regularly.
Not as much anymore, but I definitely love working for Invictus, and anytime they want me around, I'm there.
Well, there we go. More people book abs. Come on.
Exactly. I can be funny, but I can also be serious if you guys want me to.
Yeah, and I think that's like in a match that I thought was going to be more comedy that wound up not being was your coal miner's glove match with the spoiler.
Oh, the one with spoiler, yeah.
Because
I think at that point there was such a built up feud with me and spoiler already. Spoiler, I want to credit as my top rival currently.
And where did he go? Because I haven't seen
him. I don't know. The pandemic really screwed up a lot of things for a lot of people.
I loved that.
I don't know. But, like, I love Spoiler. And he's doing his own thing. He's managing his own life. I think he might be trying to get away from Spoiler and do his own thing. Because, you know, when you have the Chikara gimmick, you want to sort of steer, like, gravitate away from that a little. But whatever he's doing, I miss him.
Yeah, he was, and that was someone I could see, getting over on his own gimmick. But I loved the spoiler gimmick. But it was a match where I was kind of expecting there to be maybe a little more silliness that there wasn't really. I mean, when you guys kind of went through the curtain and then came back, that was pretty much the only somewhat humorous spot I remember.
Yeah.
Because you don't really cut a promo in the beginning. You just, throw them into the ring and get to work.
Exactly.
And I feel like when most people hear Coal Miner's Glove, they kind of go, well, there's no way this is going to be good or taken seriously. But it was the complete opposite of both of those.
We made it what we could, honestly. It's one of my favorite matches.
It is such an old school Mid-South gimmick match that doesn't get enough love, because I feel like most of us, in the early 90s when Sting and Jake kind of...
Like, yeah, this glove is all of a sudden supposed to make you more powerful.
I feel like, depending on who did it or when they did it, sometimes it's a loaded glove. Like there's, like a piece of coal or something in it, or sometimes it's wrapped in a chain and filled with something heavy. So I feel like everybody does it differently than the next.
If you're a heel, yeah. If you're a face, it's just a normal glove. And it worked for us, though, because we both had our claw gimmicks going on.
Exactly.
So that's what made it great. I'm always grateful for Leapfrog for that type of stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like, despite the way that it kind of ended poorly, it doesn't mean that it takes away from the experiences that...
No, people genuinely enjoyed Leapfrog.
I mean, it got you that chance to do that, 900-man Cibernetico for...
Oh, my God, yes. I've now put my... on my resume, and I tell people I worked for GCW once.
That's right. Technically, you did once. They can't take it away.
I worked for GCW.
I'm just trying to remember how many people were actually in that match. I know it was a ton.
It was a 9-on-9.
Okay.
It was an 18-person, so whatever. It was a 9-on-9.
And the tag stuff you did with Abby was great.
Yeah, I'm really... I love that, and I'm really bummed that that didn't really translate through after Leapfrog shut down.
Well, everybody's got to go their own path.
Well, her and Pancakes are doing good, and I did a trio with them once, so... You never know, there could be a nice trio in the future.
That's right. We need more trios.
Exactly.
What would you say have been some of your favorite memories so far in wrestling?
Honestly, it's meeting the people, it's meeting the other wrestlers and I guess the road trips. I have ridden with a whole eclectic group of people. I rode up to Maine with a few people to Vacation Land Pro Wrestling. The one time I've been in Maine, I've driven Masha Slamovich. I've ridden with her and Alec Price in a car once. That was funny. So, it's just the people I meet, honestly.
Yeah,
and the connections I make that are like genuine.
And promoters, Abs is willing to bring people with him.
Yeah, I'll bring people with me.
Because when I was, my second show was supposed to have Masha on it. And Masha was going to ride with you. And that made my life a million times easier because I didn't have to worry about how to get her here.
Exactly.
So Abs is a guy who does everything. And he'll take care of you as long as you take care of him.
Exactly. I'm not above helping out at shows and just showing up, you know. I'm not above going to just going to shows to help out. And, I'm not above that.
And that means a lot. Honestly, because there's shows where sometimes there's a role that desperately needs to be filled. And,
exactly.
And they're going to remember next time who helped them out and who didn't.
I had to buy Sydney Bacabella rope last time I was at Wrestling Open. He gave me money and I drove 5-10 minutes out of Worcester to go to a Walmart and buy rope.
I'm going to assume that was the Walmart in West Boylston.
I don't know. I don't know Massachusetts like that.
That's where my family's from, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if for some reason you have nothing going on at the end of the year, hopefully you'll show up at the Restival, and I'd love to see you.
We'll see, yeah.
And above all, what are Abs' goal for the futures? Or sorry, goals for the future?
For my multiple futures. Let's go it.
All right.
No, okay. I want to wrestle internationally. That'd be wonderful. I'm not necessarily chasing the contract, but I'll obviously if anything ever comes about, I will take it. I'd love to get on AEW or Dark, whatever, work some of that. Get on the bigger indies and just travel and have fun.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, any of those.
I'm realizing with my age and all, I'm not really WWE bound at this point, it seems. If this were me, even 6 months ago when it was terrible, I would have vehemently said, no, I refuse to go to WWE. Look at how bad it is now. But then now that it's gotten a little bit better, it's like my attitude's like, all right, I wouldn't mind going there, but would they ever really look at me? Probably not.
I mean,
so I've sort of given up my aspirations for the WWE at least.
And sometimes, you know, with age, you never know. I mean, look at DDP and how he made that work in WCW.
I know, exactly. So there's always that case to make.
There's been a few older people who made it in WWE that people probably wouldn't have thought of. Batista is one. I mean,
oh yeah, I can't forget that, of course.
And I feel like you have better abs, so.
Yes, everyone take this soundbite. I have abs has better abs than Batista.
That's right.
And if Big Dave wants to fight me for it, then probably not gonna.
Oh man, no, there's the money. That's your ticket. I got a
Big Dave.
I got to fight Batista in a shoot over who has better abs. And I'll wake up with 2 million Twitter followers.
He won't give me the WWE, but he can put me in one of his movies.
That's right. Abs in Guardians of the Galaxy Part 7.
Jack Jr.
Oh, my God. If I knew anyone who could Photoshop, I would totally somehow make that happen.
Hell yeah, dude. But also, I guess, back to the original question, I guess a place I sort of want to see myself in is a place like Impact. It's neutrally got, it's like one of the better neutral companies out there, you know?
And Impact, everyone's been saying such great stuff about it that I guess it's just flying under the radar how well they've been doing lately.
With the birth of AEW, it no longer became a competitor to WWE, really.
And just the way that company has... Impact's the cockroach of pro wrestling, man. For always,
it refuses to die.
It does. And for always being, I don't want to say a mainstream company, but being a company that for most of its entire life, it was either on pay-per-view or has been on network TV.
Mm-hmm.
And still, the people still watch it. The ratings aren't insane, but when you're owned by a company who has the channel, it's gonna work out.
Exactly. Whatever million iterations or regime changes it's gone through, or name changes, it's still here.
It's still giving people a place to work, and apparently they've been putting out really good TV, so maybe I'm finally going to have to check back in.
Masha's killing it over there, so there
she is. I feel like my biggest thing is whenever I'm ready to kind of go check up back on something again, whether it be NWA or Impact, Bully Ray shows back up, and I'm kind of like, man, that kills my interest.
Oh, there you go. But honestly, with specifically with someone like a Masha or whatever, I tune in to watch someone I know on TV. That always warms my heart.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. That's gotta be awesome when you can see, you know, people that you've been able to have genuine experiences with on TV killing it. And that's like the people, there's people I've had, you know, on this show who've done multiple Dark appearances now, and it's like, holy shit, look at them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Crazy where life takes you. Or I interviewed Anthony Green like right before he signed with WWE. It was like, holy shit, this guy took time out of his life to talk to me.
Anthony Green is a solid dude. He's one of the nicest guys I think I've met.
I can believe that. He just seems like such a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man, I use Anchor, which cuts you off after an hour. So, I'm probably going to stop this for a second, and then we'll start right back up and ask the dumb questions that have absolutely nothing to do with wrestling.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that was painless. If you want to listen back to this to hear yourself, there will have been no real transition at all. I could probably even cut out the part where I tell you we're going to stop, but I am like, I always kind of say Jim Crockett in the 80s, this is all real to tape. I don't like to edit anything because I'm lazy. So we will now start with, as you know, this is an important question to me. Everyone is asked this question. Grape or strawberry jelly?
Grape.
Thank you. Grape jelly gang for life.
I mean, I'm not picky with my jellies. I just like grape.
I think it's the best one.
Yeah.
It's what I like. And I just hate everything strawberry except for Twizzlers. Still don't understand why that works the way it works, but it does.
I mean, I like some strawberry things, but I think as far as jelly, I just grew up more on grape jelly.
Yeah, fair. Monster or Red Bull?
Monster.
All right.
Specifically the zero sugar stuff.
For some reason, the new cold brew coffee ones, I love them.
Well, I don't even drink coffee, so.
Good for you.
I'm not an adult.
I wouldn't say that. What was your favorite cereal as a kid?
Oh, my God. That's tough. I always liked Reese's Puffs.
All right, fair.
But my parents like to do the more, or I guess the more healthier stuff and keep those around, you know? Sorry, I just burped.
It's okay. So you were forced to eat Chex.
Or like Kashi or whatever.
Oh, organic. God. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, ass.
So it's okay. I accept your thoughts and prayers.
Who is your favorite Disney villain?
Ooh. My God. I don't know. I honestly can't give you that answer. Maybe Captain Hook?
All right.
Yeah, I'll go Captain Hook. Or the White Witch from the Chronicles of Narnia.
All right, now, who's a better Captain Hook? Animated Captain Hook or Dustin Hoffman Hook?
The animated one, because I don't think I remember. I've seen Hook, but I don't remember a lot of it. So,
oh, go rewatch the animated one. Go rewatch it, man. That is a prime childhood movie.
Or better, the one that the shitty spinoff, whatever, that came out a few years ago, where Hugh Jackman was not exactly Captain Hook, but he was a pirate, and it was in the Peter Pan world.
I think it was a TV special thing, but did you by any chance get to see any of Christopher Walken as Captain Hook?
No.
Go.
Was that those musical live musical things that NBC was doing?
I think with Disney. I think it was, and I just remember thinking, okay, I'll watch because I'm sure this is going to be very. You know, you hear Christopher Walken and you kind of get something in your mind. But it almost made me forget that he is an amazing actor and will surprise you at times.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes this is all you know him for. This thing, you know, hey.
But yeah, he was like totally into it. I was like, holy shit, all right, you win, Christopher
Walken. I'm Christopher Walken.
I think my favorite Christopher Walken fact is that every time he does a movie, he will tell someone on the staff that his birthday is coming up, so he will always get a free cake for every movie he does.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He's a G. I love him.
That's some genius shit. Just be like, man, I want a fucking cake.
If I wasn't like timid enough to not do that, I would totally do that. If I wasn't nervous to do that, I would totally be like, hey, yo, it's my birthday. Get me a cake. I'd go into my Applebee's and do that.
Dogs or cats?
I don't have any pets, but I prefer dogs.
All right.
I have nothing against cats. I just prefer dogs.
I'm the same way. I have a cat, but there's just...
I have better experiences with dogs.
Yeah, but cats... Because I feel like cats feel like they don't need you.
Yeah, no, they let you know it. They're basically telling you, like, hey, I don't need you. Whatever you're doing to me, I'm letting you do as because I feel sorry for you.
Pretty much.
They're assholes. The whole thing where cats are assholes, they're assholes.
They but are.
People like assholes, I guess. So that's why there's cat people.
Or I feel like someone once explained to me that they're a cat person because they enjoy having to work for the affection or like the bond.
Yeah, I've heard of that too, and I'm like, that seems a. I'm okay if that's some real. I don't know. There's no polite way to put that except for like I don't know.
It's one of those things where it's like, listen, I have enough problem in my everyday life trying to forge relationships.
That sounds funny.
It's like, listen, I'm pretty much, it's a daily struggle to try to make sure that, you know, I maintain the like of the people that do like me. I do not want to have to come home and do that. I'd just like a dog that blindly loves me for no reason.
Exactly. Because those dogs like literally love you for no reason. They have no reason to love you. You bought them and you're their pet, but they love you.
Hey, it works for me.
There you go.
As a child, Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network?
Cartoon Network.
And which one was your favorite?
Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Oh, that's good. Did you ever hear the fan theory that they're all dead?
What, in Ed, Edd n Eddy?
Yes.
No.
Okay, go Google that later.
All right, well.
I mean, I don't think it makes sense, but it's just one of those where people write it and you're just kind of like, man, what were you on when you went down this path?
Yeah. Plus, also, when you watch it back now, the amount of filthy jokes in that show is insane.
Oh, it's ridiculous. That was like a couple weeks ago. You know, I'm putting on something for my kids and... I was like, all right, guys, what do you want to watch? And my daughter goes, let's watch Cat in the Hat. And I was like, okay, I haven't watched that in forever, sure. That Michael Myers Cat in the Hat movie is not a fucking kids movie.
I've heard.
Oh, man, it's just like, what the... I am so glad that they don't understand any references that are happening right now.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I'm trying to think of it. If you could keep... No, we done already did pet one.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst experience you've ever had living in New York City?
Oh, I think it's just generally rush hour and making me late for things. And I've never really had like a horrific experience. I think it was only just recently, like maybe a year ago, where I was hanging out with friends. We were just out drinking outside, outside of a bar, in the outdoor seating in Hell's Kitchen. And some dude just literally approached us with a tiny bag of Coke, tried to sell it to us.
Oh, so yeah.
Other than that, no real outwardly crazy bad experiences except general stuff, you know?
Well, that kind of puts some faith back, because the last two people that I've interviewed for the show have been, you know, from the city too, and they threw out some things that threw me off.
Yeah. Well, there's this general traffic. People, like, I don't want to say I hate tourists, but I'm not a huge fan of, because it just makes everything worse. Makes everything slower in the city. But it's just, yeah. I'm honestly getting kind of sick of the city anyway, so.
All right, then I'm going to ask you a geography question that only has to do with New York.
Okay.
Because I get angry about this one. For you, where does upstate New York start?
To the Bronx. It's where Yonkers starts. That's upstate New York to me.
Because I am an upstater, that one always kind of gets me, because I feel like city people are always like, oh, anything above us is upstate New York, but I don't agree with that.
I don't know. For me, I was always under the impression that Westchester County is part of upstate New York.
And we've always been taught up here that that's part of the southern tier.
Yeah.
That it goes, you know, upstate, then kind of capital district. Well, that's upstate too, but, mm-hmm. And then it's southern tier.
Upstate.
Yeah, then it's southern tier, and then it's the city.
Right. I just think the moment you cross over from the Bronx into Westchester County or Yonkers, you're in upstate New York.
Now, living down there in the city, that means you are privileged to have a wide variety of international cuisine right at your doorstep.
Okay, yeah.
What's the grossest thing you've ever eaten, man?
Oh my God, the gross dollar pizza? Oh. I count that. That might be one of the most disgusting things I've had. Yeah, I think that's going to probably make top the list right now.
Yeah, I can only imagine how bad dollar pizza is, though, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I don't know. I've never really had anything crazy, to be honest. I live a very sheltered life.
Eating your Kashi twigs in a bowl growing.
Yeah. I hate seafood, so anything that's seafood I hate, I think is disgusting.
Wow, man, yeah, and living by the water.
Yeah, I hate, no, yeah, let's just say that. Anything seafood, because I hate seafood. I just don't like fish.
I mean, I don't blame you. That was something I didn't like for a long time either. And then once in a while you have somebody make something right, it kind of changes your outlook.
I'm sure.
Sometimes.
I haven't had that luxury yet.
Sometimes, though, it's just no matter how they cook it, you're just like, nah, not feeling it, brother.
Nah, nothing, anything that comes out of the ocean, I will not eat.
Fair. I was trying to think if there's anything out of the ocean that isn't necessarily seafood. But it all kind of has to be, right?
It's in the name.
Is now that's a homework thing. Is there anything that can come out of the ocean that you could possibly eat that's not considered seafood?
I guess seaweed, but I don't know. I'm not crazy about that either.
I mean, when people, like when indigenous peoples eat like whale blubber, is that's still seafood, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Is a whale technically a mammal? I know dolphins are mammals.
Yeah, whale's a mammal too. Yeah, so.
Oh, there you go. Then I don't know.
So if you eat a sea mammal, is that still sea?
It lives in the ocean, okay? If I ate Aquaman, it's still seafood.
Now we're reaching the real metaphysical questions in life.
Yeah.
So we'll tone it back and bring it back to the final question I have.
Yeah, don't give me an existential crisis on your show.
I'm sorry. So we'll bring it back to level with this one, the most important one, the standard bearer of the show. Uh-huh. What's the creepiest basement you've ever been in, and why?
Oh, the one in my building is pretty creepy. I mean, it's got like a big old laundry room, and it makes all these pipe noises, and it's like the walls are so dingy and it looks like a cave almost.
Oh man, that sounds like one I'd want to check out.
I'm currently in the basement in my grandparents' house in Queens, and it's very nice.
Oh man, nice basements. I'm envious.
It's a basement you can live in and sleep in, and I do.
Oh, hey man, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good basement.
Exactly. Though. We can have a whole show about basements.
One day I will compile all the basement answers into one mega episode.
The very best of basements and Alone in the Basement.
Soon I just need to go on tour and interview wrestlers in their own basements.
That'd be great.
That's the video series. Hey, I'm in his basement. Just basement world tour.
I'm in Abs's basement. And it's making lots of weird noises. And people are coming in and out doing laundry.
Make sure you separate your whites from your colors.
Exactly.
Which I never do and have somehow been lucky.
I just wash it.
That's how I look at it. Like, whatever. I don't really have much things that are red, so. Well, all right, man. I appreciate you again taking this time, spending a little over an hour with me, just kind of bullshitting and letting us all know, you know, kind of how the story's gone for you so far. You want to throw out where people can follow you on social media?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, both at NotFakeAbs. Twitter, it's NotFake, and then Abs is all caps. Instagram, it's all lowercase. You can check me out on IWTV for all the camp, almost pretty much all the camp leapfrogs. I'm there in some way. Invictus Pro Wrestling. I had a great Hell's Kitchen match with Miles Millennium about a year ago. You can find that up there. Pro Wrestling Magic, Wrestler's Lab, all of that good stuff. And then you can also buy my merch at brainbustertees.com.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, man, you know, I really hope, you know, some more positive things happen for you out of this, because again, you are a genuinely good human being. I've never had a terrible experience dealing with you. I feel like you're a great dude who wrestling should give back to a little more.
Thank you so much. I'm going to isolate that clip and just play it to everyone I know and be like, see, I'm not so bad.
No, man, I love Abs. And if any, you know, if there are anyone out there who needs to use me as a reference for Abs, message me. I'll tell you how great he is.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
All right, brother. You take it easy. I'm sure I'll hear from you soon. But stay safe. You know, good luck out there, and avoid all seafood and sea mammals.
No, that's not going to be a problem. I don't even go in the water if I can't help it.
Fair enough, man. Take it easy.
Take care, man. Thank you so much.
Bye. All right, everybody, again, that was Abs. He told you where to follow him. I know I've said it multiple times, but I honestly, he's just an awesome dude. And if he can get more opportunities out there some way, somehow, do it. If you are a fan of the show and you listen, tag a promoter. Tell him you want to see Abs. And maybe you don't unnecessarily get what he's doing, but there's a market for everyone, and wrestling is such a multicolored, you know, thing that there's no real, it's like I was saying, there's a spot for Abs on every show, and just because you think he maybe only fits one role, that's not true. Abs can fit a number of roles, and he can do so much in wrestling, and I hope, you know, sometimes it's the good people that don't necessarily get the runs that deserve it. So I'd like to see some some good things happen his way. And so thank you for sitting here listening to some bullshitting. And I appreciate everyone who takes the time. As always, you know where to find me. Facebook is Alone in the Basement. And so is Instagram. Twitter is at AITB Podcast. For some reason, I'm only active on Facebook because I apparently don't want to grow my fan base and I am an idiot. For streaming, I mean, I would assume wherever you're listening to me now is your preferred place. So yeah, just do that. But I am available in most places that podcasts are podcasted. At least that's what I think. So as always, I love you guys. Take it easy. Take care. I will actually be back later this week. And I will be talking to one of the entrants for this year's Tournament of Death for CZW. So I'm pumped for that one. It's a friend of the show and all around decent dude. So again, love you guys. Talk to you later.